Good afternoon, everybody. It's Thursday the 6th. That's my door. It's got a very creaky hinge and it's a gust of wind just blew it. I'm sitting out in my swinging seat. The sun... I'm going to sneeze. Oh, excuse me. I woke up today very kind of hay feverish. I don't know that I get hay fever, but there's something I do get that I'm allergic to, I think. Anyway, the sun's a bit hazy, it's gone in a bit now, but it's warm when it's out, and I'm out in the garden, and Lamb is out here with me. You can hear his collar. I've put this bell on there, so I know what he's getting up to, and Pinky's out here as well. Her collar's less obtrusive. Anyway, I thought I'd just come on here to do a quick update. Not that there's much been happening. Not really anything to speak of. I'm on the last book of the Outlander series now, for anyone who's interested. I'm glad to know that she's writing number 9. Because although they're very long, they do move quite slowly. Not in terms of action, because there's a lot of action, but I mean... it's not like they skip years and years, apart from after the first one, between the first and second one, there's a big gap. Anyway, that's by the by. I thought I'd come on here and tell you I'm going to be at the hospital tomorrow, and I'll have to spend like 4 or 5 hours there doing something called a PET test, or a peritoneal equilibration, or I don't know how you pronounce that word, but I think it's equilibration test, known as a PET test. It's a test of adequacy to make sure my dialysis is working as it should. They want to test the transport rate, that is how fast the toxins are absorbed into the bloodstream. Out of the bloodstream, that's wrong, from the bloodstream. So what I'll tell you what I have to do to prepare for this, because they want to measure how much, they want to measure several things. They want to measure how much fluid I put out a day, and that is both in the bags and also the amount of urine I pass. And then they do several tests of the fluid when I'm actually there, to see how, you know, they'll test it after 2 hours. And so anyway, what I have to do to prepare is, today, the first thing in the morning, I had to go to the toilet as normal, and then after that, for the rest of the day, including the first time tomorrow morning, I have to collect my urine. Now, I've got a plastic jug from, it's a very cheap plastic Tesco's jug. It's probably about 50 pence and you can get it on the grocery website. So the first time I had to do this, I have to do it once a year, by the way, and it's always in August. First time I had to do it, I used this jug because I didn't know what else to use. And so now I keep it. I'm just going into the cat's room to shut the door. I keep it now for that purpose, because obviously I don't really want to use it for cooking after I've done that. Well, even though, you know, if you wash it, sure, it's fine, but I just don't want to do that. And we've also got a big plastic mixing bowl that you can buy from Tesco's, again, for a similar price, which we keep in the bathroom, the toilet, in case anyone needs it as a sick bowl. There's a big, really wide windowsill at the back of the toilet, and things like that get kept up there so that they don't. There's no danger of them being mixed up with anything in the cupboard downstairs. excuse me. sorry about that. The other thing I have to do is to, every time I drain a bag out today, I have to keep it. I get a box, put them all in the box, so that they can write down the amount of fluid that I passed out during the 24-hour period, before the test. And then tonight, instead of doing my normal bag, which is an extra new purple, what we call a, it's a purple, got a purple cap on it. We distinguish them between the yellow, green, red and purple. The yellow one is the one that you do is the weakest solution, and the one that I was doing four of those up until recently. Now I do three yellow bags and a purple one, which is one that's got a different solution. It's not glucose based, it's starch based, and it draws more fluid in and less of the toxins. It's one that you can keep in overnight without the fluid going back into your system, or in the dialysis fluid going into your system, which the ones on the yellow bag will be absorbed into your body if you don't drain them out after four, before, you know, 4 hours is up. So there's that. So I have to... the green ones. The green ones you don't use very often unless you've got a fluid build-up. But I think they're a bit superfluous when you use the purple ones anyway. But they're a stronger solution of the yellow, the same fluid as the yellow. And the only time I've used them is the night before this test, the PET test. Instead of putting my purple bag or a yellow bag, whatever I was on at the time, I will put in a green bag. And I will actually leave that in and not do an exchange in the morning. I'll just go to the hospital with the green bag in. So as soon as I get there, they will test the green bag to see, you know, what the contents are, and they will, I think they test for the urea and creatinine, and then they will drain that off, put in a yellow bag, then after 2 hours they will take some samples from that, and then they'll drain that off, and then I think they'll take some more from, I don't know, then they'll take some more from the next one they drain out, and then, so I'm in there like 4 or 5 hours. They do some other things, like they do my blood pressure and I can't remember what else, but they have a set of criteria that have to be attended to. So that's it. And then they never really give me the results. The results take ages to process, because when they come back from the laboratory, they have to be put into the computer, and they've got like a software program that works it all out. And so it's weeks, months probably before some of them get processed, because it's an important thing that needs to be done, but they're very busy, the staff, and it takes time, and it's not low priority, but it's not anything urgent. It's just something they can tell pretty much how it's working just from the blood test results. But they just like to have some hard evidence up once a year. It's a bit like with guide dogs. It's a bit like your aftercare visits, I suppose, just to make sure everything's working okay. And so I'd always panic before. I think, oh, I must remember the day before. What if I forget? Then I'll have to change. If I do something wrong, then I'll have to change the date. Like this morning, if I didn't remember, you know, I've got to start collecting my urine. Then I pour it into, I've got a 1 litre milk carton. I don't, bottle, which I've washed out. I don't know if that's going to be enough, and I might have to go around looking for something else. I did have a 2 litre one, which I was going to use, but someone's thrown that away, and they collected the plastic today, so that's gone. So we will see what happens. Anyway, I just thought I'd tell you if anyone's interested, because I know some people do like the medical stuff. That's one of the things that you have to do when you're on the... I don't know if they do it because there's two forms of peritoneal dialysis. There's the CAPD, which is continuous ambulatory peritoneal dialysis. That's such a mouthful. That's why they call it CAPD, which is what I'm on, where you do the exchanges continuously. Then you've got the APD, which is assisted peritoneal dialysis, where someone goes on a machine overnight and it continuously filters the fluid as you're sleeping for 8 hours, and then you just have I think they have one of the purple bags in all day, and then at night they do go on the machine. I did want to do that first, but I don't think I could stand being tied to a machine for 8 hours. Going on there for like half an hour is enough, 4 times a day, to be fair. I think I would find it a bit intrusive to sleep with that. And someone told me that when it drains you, it and there's nothing left in, it pours on your insides and it hurts. And I'm quite sensitive to that anyway. When I'm draining out my fluid, when it gets to the end, it does hurt me a bit. It's like period pains. And I think if I had that in the night continuously, I sleep badly enough now, but I don't think that would do much for my sleeping. There are practical difficulties, like I couldn't put myself on and off the machine. I'd have to get my husband to do it or another family member. And the other thing is, if I was here on my own and the machine, it's all computerised, and if it went off, something went off, an alarm went off in the night, there's a helpline, 24-hour helpline, but you have to be able to read the screen to tell them what it's saying, because they can troubleshoot you through the problem. But obviously that's no good for me, because I wouldn't be able to read the screen. An alarm could be something just like you're laying on it, you're laying on the tube and it'll go off because you can't drain the fluid in and out. Other things can go wrong as well. And also, you can kind of overdo it so that it takes a bit too much fluid out. And when you, I've heard people talking at the hospital saying, oh yeah, well, when I did it last night, you know, there was nothing coming out and all this. And they said, oh well, you need to give it a rest for a couple of days, and you know, or just do it every other night for the next 5 days or whatever. And I think, oh, I think I'll just prefer to plod on in my very, not backward way, it's probably the most primitive form, but it's actually probably the most natural form of dialysis, because it, like the kidneys, it's working continuously, whereas that one isn't. It's not only really working properly at night. And the hemodialysis, which is a blood exchange, which is usually done at the hospital 3 days a week, is only working 3 days a week. When you leave the hospital, your blood's all clean, but then straight away it's becoming dirty again because it's building up till the next time. So mine, it's probably, in terms of cleansing, it may not be the most efficient on the day, like the hemo probably gets rid of all the stuff, in, you know, and for a few minutes you're probably like back to normal. But and with mine, you probably never are, because, you know, it never gets rid of everything, but it's working continuously, and therefore it is most like your kidney function, because if your kidneys are working properly, they should be working 24/7. So, and that's like the dialysis, if I do it properly, which I don't always. If I haven't been very well, I'll miss ones out. And, you know, the worst thing that upsets it, my routine, is having an upset stomach like I had the other day, because there's two reasons. The practical reason is, if you're in the middle of doing dialysis, it's not very nice if you have to keep going into the toilet, because it means you have to take I have a bag hanging up on the back of my wardrobe. Well, it's a built-in wardrobe, like a cupboard door on a hook, and I have to get that down, and I have to lift that and the other bag, and it's not heavy, it's just awkward because it's attached to you in your abdomen area. You have to carry both the bags, put them on the toilet floor, go to the toilet, and of course you've got to be so particular about cleanliness because of passing on germs you could get peritonitis. So when you're finished in there, you have to go and wash your hands, stand with the bags on the floor, which actually hurts a bit because it's pulling on your peritoneum. So actually I try and hold the bag between my abdomen and the sink. I'll press it there so that it's not on the floor, or I'll stand it on the side of the bath or somewhere while I wash my hands for 2 minutes. I try not to touch the bags when I've been in the toilet before I wash my hands. I'll get some toilet paper and put it over my hands and carry the bags into the bathroom. So it's a right palaver to have to do that. The other thing, of course, is that when you have an upset stomach, you feel so horrible that the last thing you want is doing anything anywhere near your stomach or your abdomen. And sometimes, even on a normal day when everything's fine, having the fluid drained out can make me very nauseous. So if you're feeling a bit queasy in that department, I try and wait till it passes because it's not very pleasant. Anyway, I think I'll leave it for now because I don't know if anyone's going to listen to this, but if you do, maybe you've learnt something today, because I do like listening to other people's things and seeing what they have to do in their lives. Anyway, I will speak to you all soon. I might try and do something from the hospital tomorrow if I feel so inclined. I also want to see if I can meet with a transplant coordinator, because I'm getting a little bit fed up with them really, because I've done all the tests now. When I was up there on the, I think it was the 20th of July, bearing in mind we're now the 6th of August, and I saw one of the registrars for a regular checkup. I asked her what's happening on the transplant front. She said, she looked on her system, she said there's a note to say that they're going to be contacting you soon. They've sent a message to Guy's Hospital, which is where the transplants are done. It doesn't mean they're contacting me for a transplant, because I'm not even on the list, but it means they're liaising with Guy's Hospital, probably, for me to meet with the surgeon, because that's one of the next things I have to do. And it still hasn't happened. I haven't heard a word from them. I know they're busy. There's two of them working. I know they're busy, but, you know, meanwhile, time's ticking on, you know, and I want to... I know I've got to get my teeth done, which I've put in hand. I've got an appointment on the 14th of August. Should have been on the 7th, but I had to relinquish it. No, the 4th. I had to relinquish it to Ronan because he needed it more than I did at the time. So I'm going on the 14th, which is only a checkup, so I'll have to go back. I've got a feeling they might send me to hospital with one of my teeth I've got to have out, because they've done that with Ronan, because they said that the root is in the teeth. I mean, I have got half of the tooth there, but the root is embedded in the gum, obviously, and it's probably going to be quite hard to get out. I've been thinking this anyway, because when you've got the whole tooth there, or most of it, because presumably you don't have a healthy tooth out, but they'll pull it and the roots will naturally come with it. But when half of it's gone, you're going to pull that half, and the half of the root is going to be hard to get the root out where there's nothing above it, if you see what I mean. I think the nerve's dead in it because I don't really get any pain. I get a bit of superficial pain from the gum sometimes, but I don't get any like nerve pain or root pain. So I've got they're referring him to the hospital to have it done. I've got a feeling I shall be going the same way. They don't put you out unless you want to be. He does, I don't. There's no way I want to be put out. They won't do it for me, I don't think, because of my kidney issue. They won't give me an anaesthetic unless it's probably something life-threatening, to be fair. I'm certainly not going to... Well, the tooth could be life-threatening, if it means I can't have a transplant, but because they won't do it. But as it is now, it's not. So I would not elect to have general anaesthetic ever. I've had it once, and that was when I had a miscarriage, and I went in for a... People call it a D&C. It wasn't a D&C. It was called an ERPC... Evacuation of the remaining products of conception, which is a very charming way of putting it. just to clean it out, basically. I had it then, that's all. I've never been put out at the dentist either. They don't do that here now. They used to when we were children. My sister had it done, but I never did. I think I was, because she used to get hysterical going to the dentist and I didn't. I was pretty stoic about it, more than I am now, actually. I was a pretty good patient. I was very brave. And at the end of it, I had the bribe of a special toy that I'd chosen. So every time we went to the dentist, I had to have a filling or something. If I behaved, I knew I was going to get this toy. And it worked for me. I didn't make a fuss. I just went in and put up with it. This was when I was about 6, mind you. anyway, so the dentist is in hand. The sun's a bit in, it's coming in and out. It's out, but it's coming right out now. It's really nice when it's out, but again, we've got this wind. I suppose that's a good thing because it keeps it a bit cooler, but it can be a bit irritating. Obi's at work. He's working till 11 tonight. Connor's coming home tonight, and Ronan's upstairs. He's starting college in September, so that's good. Can I make that not squeak? If I move over here, that's going to squeak the other side now. It's just getting... If I don't put my feet... If I swing without using my... the weight of my... The muscles of my legs, then it doesn't squeak as much. But when I put my feet on the floor and I just push it back because it falls... Oh, it's not doing it now. It's because I moved. I moved more into the middle. I was at one end. So sorry you've had to put up with that all the way through. And I'll speak to you soon.